Hello, my name is Carol Mae Wittick and welcome to Her Conversations, Tools for the Awakening Woman. HER is an acronym for Higher Energetic Resonance. It's the optimal state to embody in order to attract our highest desires. And who is the Awakening Woman? Well, she's a woman who's seeking a greater possibility in her reality and looking for solutions. She knows being awakened is not a lofty ideal, but a necessity. If she can transform herself, she can change the world. Her conversations will introduce you to talented women who will speak to your spirituality, sensuality, and soul. They share their stories and explain how they are in service to the world. So let their words and these conversations embolden and inspire you. I was inspired to create Her Conversations in September 2017, and I reached out to the women that I knew to invite them to be interviewed for the series. So thank you to Abby Osho, Alexis Jones, Anita McKenzie, Courtney Amundsen, Donna Awindi, Christina Wingaya, Lorraine White, Rachel Welford, Charlene Linton, Sharon Curry, Shola Kay. Thank you all for agreeing to come on board from a simple email, because ideas can only ever grow with support. Putting together a series like this requires consistent work. Personally, I want the production to be the best that I can do, and there is so much more I want and need to do. This is not to complain at all. It's just been a great learning experience, and it's shown me what I have the capacity for. So this week's episode is just going to be slightly different, a way to see in the new year. And with each of the guests that come onto the programme, I have a set of standard questions. So what I've done in this episode is I've compiled the answers to two of the main questions so that you can get a feel for the answers and maybe even be inspired by them. So the first question is the opener to all the episodes, and it's HER is an acronym for Higher Energetic Resonance. When do you feel at your most HER?
Thank you, Carol May, for having me here. Such a beautiful acronym, really, Higher Energetic Resonance. So when I get out of my own way, mostly I feel HER when I'm working with clients, when I've taken the time to clear myself and tune in and show up in service. Then I feel that I am HER. You know, it's not about me. It's about holding a space and showing up in, you know, for the energy that's present in a higher vibrational way without being afraid to work with whatever energy somebody's bringing, because sometimes that energy is darker or harder or more traumatic. And to be able to hold that space to help my clients is one of the ways that I feel that that is alive in me. And then really in nature is when I get a lot of, I feel like, tune-ups and connecting to that energy of higher energetic resonance. And that carries me a long way, just being filled by the mother in so many ways in nature is really when I feel very, very connected and all just tuned up and lined up with that.
If you'd asked me this question a couple of months ago, I would have said, you know, when my company's doing well and when I've got all the success and everything else. But what I really, really am understanding more and more recently, that the truth of who I am is when I am soft and when I am kind to myself and when I am compassionate, not just to everybody else, because I'm really good at doing that, but to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even talking about it makes me want to tear up, because it's the least resistant thing in the world to me to be soft. And when I am just strong, when I am just all of these fierce attributes, and I don't return to softness, it feels like pressure, and it feels hard.
I thought, well, what is it about meditation? But then I kind of, like, in considering it, I thought, well, actually it's devotion. I feel that higher resonance mostly when I'm in a space that's devotional, and that could be any of a number of types of spaces, you know, like communing out in nature or being in a sacred space, you know, like in a temple or a church or whatever, or kind of like communing with someone else as a spiritual counselor, and doing that three-way process that is, you know, where spirit is present, and you know, you're kind of like working with that energy to manifest different types of things. So yeah, it is a kind of like devotional state for me, and happens most in my role as an interfaith minister, and also when I'm teaching, and also when I'm getting hugs from my granddaughter.
Definitely when I'm not eating meat, I'm very much so focused on making sure that my mind, my body, and my soul are aligned. And I think that's when I'm really focusing on self-care, mm-hmm. and giving myself permission to put me first, because I tend to put everybody ahead of me. So I definitely feel in my highest vibration when I'm really focusing on not putting low vibratory foods in my body, and I'm really just focusing on taking care of myself. You know, helpers are the people that need the most help. So just doing some self-care stuff for sure.
I actually feel that I am her all of the time. And I'd say that was a journey. It hasn't always been that way. But I definitely think for the last few years, my journey's taken me to what I'm doing now. And I really feel that I am her. And I, you know, what resonates with me, whether it's sort of early on in the morning or late at night, is that kind of feeling, that high vibration. And I always feel that if I am within my vibration at its highest, doesn't always mean I'm going to get that back the other way, but it doesn't matter to me anymore, because I know I'm in there, and I know that is the energy that I'm sharing with people. And that is just so important to me. So for me, I am her all of the time.
So I feel the most her when I am out there giving people joy. You know, like, because I like, if, for example, I'm taking a walk with my nephew and we're in this forest and I see him, the joy that he has having a squirrel take a nut from his hand, and just seeing his joy. So I feel like I'm most her when I'm present. When I'm present and in the moment and not trying to make something of that's not there. When I'm able to be there for people. And when I'm able to be there for myself with self-care, because self-care to me is 100% important.
I feel it with music, when I'm playing music, and something that I find is so important is having that daily practice or ritual for yourself, and whatever form that may be. You know, it might be a daily walk through the woods. In the summer, I take my barefoot walks through the woods, and that's a moment of embodying that as well. So there's so many different, you know, everyone has a different way of doing that, but I think it's that moment of becoming the stillness and opening to a bigger part of you that's beyond your ego, beyond your mind, beyond, you know, it's the spirit of us. It's the foundation of us, the source of us.
I am most her when I am doing the work that I was born to do. I am most her when I'm working with clients, helping them to fulfill their calling and to be aligned with their purpose. And when I'm able to give them breakthroughs to help them to realize, well, what's stopping them from really fulfilling their calling? That's when I feel most her, because that's the work that I was born to do, because I feel it, and that energy is always, you know, so high frequency. So yeah, that's when.
Firstly, when I'm meditating, like when I'm in my space, and I get into this kind of really beautiful connected space where I just feel like everything is like, and I'm really vibing, I feel like my energy gets really big, and I'm like, and then no stress, no worries, no thoughts, no anything, just like this connected kind of beautiful space. So that's the first one. But secondly is like transformation in people that come to my workshops and people that I work with one-to-one. Like I get such a buzz off watching the aha moments and the penny dropping and people kind of like making positive changes in their own lives and you know, moving forward with things and kind of getting out of their own way. Like, it actually makes me feel like expansive and like stoked for them as well. So yeah, they're the two, I guess, when I'm on my own and when I'm with other people as well.
If I've had a good day or if I've had a bad day, the thing that I really love doing is just going for a walk along the sea. I moved down to the coast 5 months ago. I took my own kind of guidance that I give my clients, which is do what's in your heart, do what makes you happy. And I thought, well, what makes me happy is being by the sea. And it does. I just know whatever's happened in the day, if I go for a walk by the sea, by the time I get home, I just feel so much better.
As a professional singer, whenever I'm singing, I feel, you know, that I'm sort of resonating highly. I also feel that when I'm speaking, if I can just get away from that voice in the head, you know, what are you saying, Shola? Is this okay? Again, you know, just that freedom of feeling fully myself and just in the moment.
Just some really inspiring answers. And I'm wondering if you thought about it for yourself, when do you feel at your most her? For me, her is when I'm doing anything creative, when I'm seeing any of my ideas start to be realized in a tangible form that other people can appreciate and enjoy, maybe. And to be honest, a lot of the time it doesn't even really matter what they think. It's just to see it from an idea into some sort of form is what makes it really exciting for me, and that's my her state. And the second question will also hopefully get you thinking too. And during our lives, we meet so many different people and we engage in so many exchanges. Some of them may be fleeting, while others might develop into long-term and lifelong relationships. What we can never be sure of is the impact that a casual phrase might have on someone else. It could literally change the course of their lives. So I wanted to find out from each of my guests, what was the best piece of advice another woman has ever given them?
Probably a teacher that I worked with for a while, who I also did like personal sessions with. She created a system called Depth Hypnosis. Her name is Isa Gucciardi. And she's a deeply compassionate, fiercely compassionate woman. And she's also no bullshit, right? She really helped me. She just gave me good advice about compassion, kind of like a teaching around understanding what true compassion is versus this kind of Tibetan Buddhist idea of idiot compassion, which I don't know if you've heard of that term before, which is that kind of what I was speaking to of that like merging compassion, where I think she gave an example of like, you know, you're walking along with a kid with an ice cream cone and their ice cream cone falls on the ground and they start to burst into tears. Do you sit on the ground and cry with them?
Right.
Right? No, that's idiot compassion, right? You know, you hold space for them. You help them understand their feelings. You like be with them and give them compassion, but it's not a merging, right? And I think that as somebody who's very sensitive and very compassionate, to understand that I didn't have to like feel it all and get involved in it all. And it was the starting of like, you know, creating boundaries and owning my field. And she helped me with that a lot. And just really understanding the nature of compassion.
She said, always remember to be your own true self. Be true to yourself. She said, walk in your shoes, not in somebody else's. And she said, and when you're walking in your shoes, make sure that they are always comfortable. And that's really stuck in my mind. And I didn't even really understand what she meant at that time. She was older than me. And I thought, oh, yeah, that sounds nice. But as I've got older and I've matured more, and I think about what she was saying to me, it was so true. And I think it was such a poignant thing for her to say it to me at that time, because I was very young and I was struggling and I had a lot of responsibility on my shoulders.
Any advice that's around just being yourself is super powerful, because I think all of us feel pressure to be, not necessarily to be what we're not, but to kind of be performing at a higher level all the time, you know, whether that's we need to be the self that makes more money, or the self that's more attractive to people, or the self that's more assertive, or, you know, who do we have to be? We've always got to be this something which is just a little bit out of reach. And while I think it's important to strive to be the very best that we can be, there's a lot to be said for just accepting, okay, this is me, this is it, you know. And then once you've allowed yourself to kind of have a few deep breaths and accept who and what you are, then you can be in a more kind of a more controlled way, start to think about where you want to go.
To not be afraid of stepping into myself, I think. To be powerful, to be bold, especially as women, you know, it's this feeling that you sort of have to be in the background, and if you're anything other than that, you know, it's sort of uncomfortable at times, and it's something that I think we sort of unconsciously know from a very young age, and can't really put a finger on it, but you can feel it. So I think for me, just being surrounded by a lot of women who are stepping into themselves, and they're not afraid to be powerful, and they're not afraid to say what they mean. And I think that's been really important for me, especially in the work that I'm doing.
Well, it is basically, is nothing wrong in focusing on yourself, okay? And you are not responsible for anyone else ultimately, only they are responsible for themselves. And actually, by you not being, well, I suppose there's an element, you could call it selfish, but it's not really selfish. By taking responsibility for yourself and in effect putting yourself first, that's a good thing long term, because by putting yourself first, and by that I mean your personal growth, you'll raise your own energy. That will impact on everybody else. And by you focusing on yourself, it's only from when you come from a good place that you can ultimately help other people.
My grandmother, I'm going to clean it up what she said, but she basically said, as a woman, we are the most powerful, and we don't even know it. Men will do anything for certain things that a woman can give. Kingdoms have been warred over for women. And basically what she was telling me is, don't ever forget your power. Don't ever forget, as a woman, your power. As a woman, you should never be homeless. As a woman, you should never be without. As a woman, you should never feel like you can't do something. Not when you can look and witness what men do. Even like you, it's so funny, even when you look at these rap stars, right? They get all this money to throw on women. Mm-hmm. But women are so insecure, feeling like, no, I need his attention. They're doing all of this for you. You know, we birth nations. We raise nations. My grandmother pretty much said, like, power of the P. Don't forget. And I don't mean just sex. It's you as a woman. We are very powerful, and we have forgotten. They doing all of this for us, you know? So she said, don't ever feel powerless. If you're a woman, never.
Actually, it's my mum, because my mum passed away earlier this year. And the best advice that she's ever said to me, and she didn't quite say in these words, but this is what I feel that she meant, is to be exemplary in everything that you do, to be exemplary and not assume that everyone has the same morals, has the same values as you, but just to be exemplary and just focus on you being exemplary, you know, and to always have those high standards. Do you know those high standards? Because you don't expect everyone to be like you, you know. And she's not saying that I'm the queen or whatever, but you know, just the way I feel like she brought us
my
up.
My sister's quite skinny, and
is just to be aware
in my build and stuff like that. And so my mum used to really, she was so sweet, and she used to cut my labels out of my clothes, and she'd say, it doesn't matter about the size of the clothes, it matters how you look in them, and it doesn't matter what's on the outside, it matters what's on the inside, and all this kind of stuff. And really what she was trying to do was install in me all these things that I now try and install in other people, right? It's like, just love yourself, trust yourself, it doesn't matter what other people think. So yeah, I would probably go with my mum, actually. Yeah, she's really quite an amazing woman, actually. I'm very lucky.
Yeah. Saying, yeah, but mom, this isn't right, and criticizing my body shape, you know. And she said to me, I mean, she's always said to me, stop it, you're beautiful. But what she said to me is, never look at something in isolation. Mm. Always look at your body as a whole. And those things that I was narrowing down and criticizing suddenly disappeared. Mm. So I was like, oh yeah, that might not be what I want, but as a whole, can rock it. So that is, I think, the best advice I've ever received from a woman.
Drop the knife. Drop the need to defend yourself. Mm. You know, because we become defensive about, you know, when we feel that people are trying to make us wrong, or our need to be right, or to stand out, or to have status, or whatever. And why that worked for me in that setting was that many times when you say that you're an interfaith minister and you're around sometimes around a group of people from a particular faith background who believe that their faith is the only way to go, you can sometimes be put in a position where they want you to defend that position, and the thing is just not to do that. It's not about that. It's about, you know, for me, it's about being the best human being that you can be in the world, which takes a lot of work in terms of, you know, personal self-discovery, spiritual growth, and that kind of thing. It takes commitment and it takes time. And dropping the knife in relation to sexism, racism, ageism, so many different things, that's really, really powerful and empowering, and not always easy to do.
Actually, the person who gave me the best advice is your first guest, Miss Alexis Jones. Mm. And she, because when I met her, she was my life coach. So she used to tell me when I didn't achieve something or I felt like I was really angry, she said, do not let your expectations prevent you from doing or reaching your goals. And one thing she said, because I was scared of embracing my spirituality and I was scared of embracing other things, so she's like, do not be afraid to embrace your truth. And to me, that has just been the basis of the things that I do, that I remember, like, yeah, not to have expectations and to just go with the flow and see what happens, and things happen when they happen, and to always speak my truth.
Thank you again for listening to her conversations, and I'm looking forward to bringing more inspiring, fantastic women to your ears over the course of this new year. So stay tuned and stay subscribed on any platform so that you can get the newest episode delivered directly to your device. And if you want to stay in contact with me, you can find me on my website, which is Carol May Wittick, CarolMayWhittick.com. I think I might have forgotten my own name there as well. And you can find me on Facebook under that name, and on Twitter and on Instagram as Kazmik. That's CazMick. So thank you again for seeing me through another episode, and I'll see you and speak to you again soon. Bye-bye.